podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
I'm Sam Keir, host of Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. For the past 12 months, I've been talking to T20 star David Visa, getting his take from behind the scenes at the IPL, the 100 and the rest of the world's biggest leagues.
That's the Tony Review system, Diogo. There's no ways in my mind that was up.
These guys don't know how to win at this stage.
He had his driver pick him up in his Bentley.
People start chanting your name. You kind of have to pinch yourself.
Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sport Social.
Hello and welcome to the Stretford Paddock Podcast. My name is Joe, that is Stephen Howson, that is Adam McCullough. We're going to be talking a little bit about Camavinga, a little bit about the Euros, just, you know, all the sort of United stories that have been
Luke
going
Shaw,
on over last week. Luke Shaw, we're going to be going on Luke Shaw. We're going to look a little bit ahead at the England game tomorrow as well, because this is the last podcast we'll do before
that
happens.
I've got a question for you.
Go on, Stephen.
Should I buy a black Germany kit to wear tomorrow night on the watch?
I've got one already. It's really
you got,
nice.
You got one of the big fat lad size.
I played poker the other day against Rory, so I wore it to rat his head.
Did you? Did you like it? I saw that video, by the way, of you, him and Pieface when you cheered the Scotland goal.
Don't I?
Like, stunned.
Pieface annoyed me.
He's very loud. His sound, but it's like, you know, when we have Andy Tate and we go with the headset, one on. You have to have one head.
Wasn't that annoyed me? It was the offence in his voice that you didn't like what he liked.
I love it.
I think it's just England. I think if you're English, like fully English, and you're an England fan, you won't get it.
But I'm mostly fully English, really.
Yeah, but you're American, Joe.
I know my mum's American.
What's your passport, Joe?
It's American. Right, let's talk about Eduardo Camavinga.
Joe voted for Trump.
Yeah, I did actually. We'll come back to... I can't vote in America. Actually, I think I can vote in America if I live there, I can vote in America, but I never have and I never will. I might do, actually. Camavinga, let's start with him.
Look how quickly he derailed.
Well, we're going to be talking about that.
I think the conversation about supporting England or not...
Yeah, but we're coming back to that.
Maybe Dick tease him a little bit with the Camavinga news.
Okay.
I come up with a right good T-shirt idea this morning for Paddock, by the way.
Go on.
If we sign Camavinga, have him a bit like Michelangelo the Ninja Turtle saying Cowabunga, but instead it says Camavinga.
You know and that would go with, when I said the Pau T-shirt, Pau Torres?
Yeah.
So if we sign Pau Torres,
yeah,
instead of POW, PAU, in like, you know, the Batman style comic-y Pow signs.
I'm with you.
Be good that, innit?
I'm with you.
So you can have Cowabunga, Pow.
Someone else will have done them now.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Tackler.
Very nice. Yeah, very good. do you want to talk about the Euros then? So we should go straight into England versus Germany. We'll come back to Camavinga.
I want your opinions
on. You said you wanted Euros, then you started talking about Camavinga.
No, I just don't want you to follow your little fucking script.
Look, right. I think club and country debate is interesting. I think, for me, it will always be club over country. If England lose tomorrow, I want them to win during the game. If England lose... Final whistle goes. Don't care.
But how come then you were saying the same thing about when United win the Europa League? You said, I don't care about this tournament.
Because Europa League. But I wanted United to win the Europa League last 16, leg one, more than I do England to win tomorrow.
Really?
Yeah.
The Europa League's every season.
If you offered me...
We win it anyway. It's not the biggest tournament.
United would have won the FA Cup when Conte beat us.
Mm.
But we would have won that.
But England lose
or tomorrow. England win the World Cup.
Yeah.
We win the FA Cup.
Same for you?
I can't find a fuck to give about England.
Really?
Yeah. Do you know what? I was probably more into, without picking a side, into Portugal and Belgium last night. I was really excited.
Good game that, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And that's why I like international.
For a boring game.
And I had Janine moaning at me and Blake trying to make me be a parent, right? Mm. While I'm trying to watch it, I was distracted as hell and I was engaged and enjoying this 1,000% more than I could ever find. And I, like, every team that attacked, I wanted to score. It wasn't like I didn't want Portugal to win, I didn't want Belgium to win, I just wanted to see a game of football.
But then that's the difference between going and watching a film at the cinema and watching your sports team, isn't it? Your team is the one that you care about almost irrationally. But when you go and watch, you know, a tenor at the cinema,
you rally around the main character. United, though, at times.
You are?
Football isn't enjoyable when I watch United sometimes because I'm so emotional.
Well, exactly, that's what I'm saying. That emotional investment is what makes it important.
What he said about that game yesterday, I watched it as well. I half wanted Portugal to win because of Ronaldo and Bruno, but I was more or less a neutral.
Yeah.
And watching it is more fun. Watching football as a neutral is fun. But it's like, I could go watch let me use a boxing. Like, you know, Chisora and Takam. Mm. I watched that, yeah. Those two were digging the fuck out of each other, yeah, just in the corner. It. And I was right in the corner and I could hear everything and I was loving it. Mm. But you see, when I go and watch Raza fight, yeah, my boy.
Shit, innit?
I can't watch.
Yeah.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? I've had mates fight for titles and like Rosie Sexton was the first British woman to get into the UFC. And she got pasted by Amanda Nunes, like only Amanda Nunes can do to people.
Unlucky to come up against her.
And though, she was like two weight classes below her and everything. And I felt sick watching it like, oh my God,
no. But that feeling is what makes it important and what makes you go back again. But you're saying that you do have a little bit of that feeling with England, though.
I'm just watching these fights.
But aren't you saying that you do have a little bit of that feeling with England? Because when you watch England play, you don't enjoy it as much as Portugal. But that's because you don't care about Portugal.
I think I supported England as United at one point.
I am a fucking professional contrarian, right? But I just like to defy people's expectations. People go, you're in the army, you obviously support England, but I obviously don't.
Do you think that's
what
it is?
Where's the fucking correlation with that?
But then also, there is an expectation that if you're a United fan, you don't support England.
But, again, I was a very impressionable 14, 15-year-old in 1998, and that scarred me. I wrote Andy Mitten's editorial in United We Stand, 1998, talking about David Beckham, closed the door for me on England. Mm. I don't need... Like, I got carried away. I mean, you're only a few years younger than me, but I don't know if you remember it that much. Euro 96 was unreal. Mm. Like I was 12,
I remember that because I went to a game at Villa Park. It was like a Denmark, you know, to take school kids there to a game. I remember I went to a game, but I don't remember supporting England as hard in that. The first tournament was France 98, Euro 2000. France 98, you're right. It's like after that, I started wearing United Greater Than England t-shirts and like, you know, like just not caring and all that kind of thing. But I was still a little bit in there with Euro 2000. Mm. There's a picture of me as I think I was 12, 13 at the time. Would have been actually 11, 12. And like, I don't know what newspaper it is, but it's got like Phil Neville's face on the back. Yeah. I'm basically in tears holding it. Yeah. Mum's taking a picture of me.
But surely don't tell me you weren't gutted when Ronaldinho chipped semen or lobbed semen.
See, so I'd started not giving a fuck
that
by that point.
Me, that
yeah,
was.
Like... for that game, I watched it in Bar Centro in Arsenal Underline, right? I
know exactly. How old were you?
18.
Fucking hell, I was in primary school.
No, I was 18. We was queuing up at 7 in the morning to get in there.
Really?
I reckon they had a fire safety certificate for about 300 people and it was probably 2,000 in there. It was fucking sensational.
And was it like, well, you say you're queuing up at 7 in the morning. The game was at like 11 in the morning. Though,
we could go to school
like
to watch it.
It was like 9, yeah. It was like 9.
We could either watch it in school or stay at home and watch it at home.
We watched it at school.
I
was
getting smashed.
They wheeled it.
Vodka Red Bulls. Vodka Red Bulls at 8 in the morning. It was mint. And then when England lost, I carried on drinking all day, but it wasn't a sad drinking.
No.
It was I didn't care.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I do. I'm not.
I love the tournaments, Joe.
Yeah, I love the tournaments. But in anything, you end up having one that you rally around at the Olympics, at the Cricket World Cup.
It's like the Olympics for me. So let's say I'm watching Mo Farah race tomorrow. I want him to win because he's British, English, whatever you want to call him. Mm-hmm. If he loses... He's lost the race. It's like that with England tomorrow. I want you to win. Come do it. I would love there to be a parade.
I don't want them to lose.
Yeah.
But
going all the way around
if
the
they
country.
Lose, it's like, bruv, all right, let's get back on focusing on United.
Yeah, I'm not Scottish. I'm not actively supporting everyone England play. Mm. I would prefer it because, let's be honest, you know, I have a grassroots football team. If England won something, probably get some cash for it or some sort of grant, do you know what I mean? Like, it'd probably benefit me if England did do something because there'd be extra funding and we could probably go around schools and things like that and coach and things. But I don't support England. Like, I don't hate them.
Do
I don't
when
want
we went
them to lose.
To the England-Scotland game. That's the only England game I've ever gone to.
I saw
to.
You talk about this the other day.
I didn't feel like I belonged.
Yeah. Well,
That might be my fault.
But it was you in your body feeling the exact same I was in my body, sat next to me. Right? So we was on a block, which on the left-hand side of our block was the stairs and then the Scottish fans, right? On the right, we was in the sort of the halfway line sort of area. Like halfway round, there was a massive big poppy mural. It was Remembrance Day. It was the 11th of November, England, Scotland. This should be me going, this is sensational. And I was just cringe overload with it.
Really?
It was awful. Then it was a guy wearing a barber jacket, specs, and a pink button-down shirt doing this to the Scotland, to the 3,000 Scotland fans. And I just remember just looking and going, well, I don't identify with them.
Yeah.
I don't identify with him.
But he had more fun. All
the guys singing 10 German Bombers, he saw a lot of cock that night.
Really?
That wasn't why I had fun.
But it didn't hurt.
But it didn't hurt.
Certainly, well, it did. Him, it did in the morning.
It didn't ruin
the night.
You see
him not deny it, though? You see him not deny it? It was like...
basically, there's a lot of fellas wearing...
dresses.
Kilts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, so...
So everyone he saw, he was like,
are you a real
proper?
Scotsman? And I was like, oh my God, I wish I'd have asked.
That's the most head-party question ever, by the way. You go around, are you a real Scotsman? Trying to get him get all the knobs out.
Yeah.
I respect that.
And then he asked it 30 more times.
Yeah, exactly. What about you, boys? Bet you didn't show me your tackle.
Yeah.
Shouting all that at him. Good lad.
Let me just fault with that again.
So tomorrow then, what chance have we got against Germany?
None.
We? He's talking French.
Well, no, but
I'm joking.
Come on. I've heard you talk about
England
this week.
I think this is England's best chance. Mm. Out of the three that we could have got, Portugal, France, and Germany.
Yep.
I know Portugal have just gone out to Belgium, but I thought Belgium are looking a little bit better. Mm-hmm. This is the best chance because Portugal, I think, put them out.
Yep.
I think Ronaldo, Bruno, who had a stinker of a tournament, mm-hmm. Ruben, not Ruben Diaz, Bernardo, all these lads.
Yep.
They would fuck England, I think. Mm-hmm. France, Kante, Pogba, it's over.
Yeah.
So I think Germany is the best chance. But then you look at it.
Kimmich, Gundogan,
exactly,
Müller.
You ain't seeing that
exactly.
ball, mate.
Goretzka don't even get you on
look
the
at,
pitch.
You look at their wing-backs the as well. Is Southgate going to match them up, go three at the back? Because if he doesn't and he goes four at the back, their two wing-backs can have a field day.
Sensational
you see
against
Scotland,
Portugal.
It was similar against Scotland. Scotland are a lesser team. Mm. But Robertson and the other fullback had acres of space.
O'Donnell.
If you give that to Germany, game over.
So we did a thing before with Rio, and he was like, you forget that we didn't beat Scotland.
Yeah, but let me move on to the
and
next
England
the next section
play
of this, though.
They play the... What's that thing? They play
shite.
They play the occasion.
Yes, we do play
so
the
like,
occasion.
They played the occasion against Scotland.
That's what happened against Scotland.
Oh my God, this is Scotland at Wembley. Yeah. And then they're going to think in the same. Oh my God, this is Germany at Wembley.
But then let me move on to the next
point. Oh my God, Germany are in
the
quarters.
Yes, we didn't beat Scotland, but we did beat Czech Republic, who just beat Holland. Like, it was a comfortable, almost...
It was
a comfortable, almost,
a Holland
almost
team
non-event.
A Republic
yeah,
team.
But it was a Holland team that if we faced them, you two would be sat here going, proper we'll lose to them.
Proper
you think we'd have beat Holland?
Have you seen their manager, bro?
I agree. But I don't think if we'd have sat here now and we had Holland tomorrow, neither of you would say, I think we'll beat them.
I would.
No, I would. I think
if your best player is Memphis, there's problems.
Yeah.
If your best player, if you've got to rely on Memphis, you've got problems.
Well, let me talk about the rest of this group.
It's not Germany, though, is it?
The rest of this bracket, then. So we've got Germany tomorrow.
I think it's...
The winner of that game, I'm not even going to give it the old if we beat them. I'll just say the winner of that game plays the winner of Sweden-Ukraine. The winner of that game plays the winner of Czech Republic-Denmark in the semi-final.
If England...
This is the easiest bracket
beat
of all
Germany
time.
Basically, Germany are in
and
the final.
And don't get to a final. if England beat Germany and do not get to a final, Southgate needs sacking.
Yeah.
He needs sacking anyway. He's the wrong manager.
So let's have a look then. Let's say we do beat Germany. Then you've got Sweden-Ukraine. You fancy against either of them. Then it's Czech Republic-Denmark on the other side. Out of those four teams, Sweden-Ukraine, Czech Republic-Denmark.
Denmark.
That's the tough one.
I don't know. I still think Czech Republic have got something in them. And having played us, they'll have analysis on us. They'll have seen where they went wrong in the first game. And England will go, we've already beat them. Why should we worry? Mm. And that worries me.
The spine of Denmark, though, you look, they've got Christensen, Kjær. You got the midfielders. Who's in the midfield again? Oh, what's that geezer's name? You got Damsgaard and you got the striker. What's his face? Up top.
What's he called from Tottenham?
Damsgaard's class, by the way.
It's almost
Højbjerg, that's Højbjerg. The one. They've got a great spine.
It's almost, and Poulsen as well. It's almost like Italy because...
Kasper Dolberg, that's
they fair. Haven't got the megastars that are lighting up Real Madrid and Barcelona. And a lot of them play domestically. So you think it's a shit team. That Italian team's not shit. And the fact, I mean, I know they conceded one in injury time the other day, but they'd won the game. Yep. Like, I think the fact that no one's scoring against Italy makes them a massive threat. Okay. France are going to be a threat.
Do you know who else no one's scoring against?
Oh, fuck off, Joe.
England. Yeah, but here's a question then. Why is it when Italy don't concede?
Because they've not conceded since 1932.
Okay, I get that. It's been, I think, 10 games.
Since Mussolini was about.
Yeah.
But this
Mussolini
whole,
was on the sideline.
This whole thing of... You know, a defensive masterclass from Italy. Fair enough, they are better defensive than us. But England haven't conceded this tournament either. England are,
they've not conceded for like 30 hours or something.
England shouldn't have conceded this tournament.
Yeah, okay.
Look at who they've played.
But all right, well, you know,
Holland, and look
Holland
at the way they've played. Yeah. Look at the, they've okay. gone. They've got the bit one of
played
the best
Scotland
attacks.
Didn't let our fucking fullbacks cross the halfway line, yeah. mate. So but Italy, of course, we haven't conceded.
Italy drew 0-0 with Austria in 9 minutes, and then got two goals in extra time. Yeah,
and
2-1.
Then and they didn't. I mean, they weren't crossing.
Austria are better than Scotland.
What?
Austria are better than Scotland.
I agree with that. But you know, anyway. So let's have a look at the other side of the bracket.
I love Scotland.
Yeah. But I think
all due respect, they're one of the worst teams in the tournament.
Yeah, and they've gone out and we've gone through top.
Statistically third worst.
But surely though, they went out, we've gone through top of the group, we didn't lose, we didn't concede a goal. I think it's to look at that game and say, because we didn't beat them,
we scored
shit.
One more goal. Can I explain than they're to going
you? Yeah, one more point on this old mm-hmm. England thing and club mm-hmm. and country stuff. You see, when you keep saying we, you know when England lose and mm-hmm. people go you lot to me or try to take the piss out of me, mm-hmm. it don't bother me. It mm-hmm. don't work. I think, why are you talking to me?
Mm-hmm. I don't mind it.
What are you doing, bruv?
Just gently caressing his water bottle there. So the other side of the...
Condensation.
The other side of the bracket, Belgium are going to play Italy. Then it's France versus Switzerland and Croatia versus Spain. The winner of those two games will play each other.
Put it on the camera so
you're all probably going to get France, Spain, Italy, Belgium, and then the winner of those two games.
The left-hand side bracket should just start figuring out yeah. who's winning it.
Yeah, exactly. Although, if you were a non-England fan, you would be saying... Someone's got to beat Germany.
It's
in the
one
final.
Of the easiest Euros ever.
Well, for this, for one
for
side,
England to win,
yeah, like the same we had with the World Cup.
If you want to win, if you want to win the Euros, this is the time.
We only have to beat two good teams. We have to beat Germany and whoever we get in the final. You know,
and,
if we were to win it.
Admittedly, a poor version of Germany. There's not a lot of balance in the squad. There's a lot of experience in the squad, which I think England are sadly lacking. Yeah. But it's not a vintage Germany side. This isn't Germany of, you know, 6 years ago or 8 years ago. This is a Germany side that's probably on the wane a little bit, but still. Deadly. Still got a couple of really good, like you said, Goretzka and Havertz. Despite the seasons that they've had, they're on par with quite a lot of the players playing for England at the moment.
I think both of them would start for England, or certainly Goretzka would start in the midfield for England, and Havertz probably, you know, thereabouts.
So I do think that people are overlooking this Germany because it's not vintage for Germany. It's still good for England. Yeah. This England team is not vintage. It's got some wonderful players. But when... You're relying on an injured Harry Maguire to be by far your best centre back. You got problems.
Mm. And look at you, like we said, that team, Kroos, Gundogan,
Kimmich,
Goretzka in that midfield. I don't think Gundogan's probably not going to start.
There's 400 passes in a game between them lot.
Yeah. Sane on the bench.
Do you remember when
on
like,
the bench, bro?
For years, Podolski would just still make his way in the tournament. If he's in that squad,
name?
I wouldn't be surprised.
Wersens.
Close.
He looks. He reminds me of a Podolski type fella.
He looks like a cross between Podolski and
but also like just head down and fat it.
And he was brilliant for them against Portugal.
Give me effective over talented any time of the week.
Yeah. Christian Shea with a super chat said, I've been saying Camavinga, get him and partner him with someone like Konrad Leimer, Austrian midfielder, would have a very effective double pivot. Let's move on to Camavinga a little bit. Because
he's fucking done us.
I have done yet. Because Mohamed Bouhafsi, tier one journalist, we've had him on the show before, on the channel before, on the tier one podcast.
Of the show?
I think one time is we've had him on the show.
Friend of Jay's.
Two times is friend of the show.
He's only been on once.
Not many people get him. He's a difficult one to pin down. He is saying that United have officially expressed interest.
Swimming pool.
Yeah, he just swims away. Officially expressed interest in Eduardo Camavinga. And he said that they're asking for 100 million euros, but that's just a negotiating tactic. That's not going to happen. For anyone who doesn't know much about Eduardo Camavinga, you know, would you say you know a lot about him?
I think he's. We've spoken about him before. Yeah. I think he's a fantastic talent, and we've been linked with him for about a year and a half now. And it kind of felt like maybe he would be someone we'd look at as a Pogba replacement.
Yeah.
Obviously, he can play deeper. He played more games this season. In central midfield rather than in that defensive midfield position.
Yep.
Maybe that's somewhere that he will take when he's got more experience and things like that. But yeah, I've gone for other midfielders because I always thought Camavinga would end up at Real Madrid. But if there's any way we can get him,
he's
18.
Well, for those who don't
know, played 80 odd games.
It feels like remember when the Essien signing was coming out of France. Yeah. It feels like that chance with Camavinga at the moment.
So for those who don't know, I believe he's 19 now, but only recently turned 19 if he is 19. He was born in Angola, plays in central midfield, made his Ligue 1 debut at 16 years old. That's why we've been linked for him so long. He's only just 19, and yet we've been linked for him.
Got man of the match against Paris, and everyone went, what is it, at 16?
Yeah.
Everyone was like, what is this kid? Now, the thing is, like you mentioned, he's played a lot of games in central midfield. Mm-hmm. He has played a lot of games as a six. And Deschamps, when he was giving him games for France, has also mentioned he's got all the qualities of Kante. And I think he has a lot of the qualities of Kante. I think he's got to improve some of his final third passing. But the kid's 18. Mm. This isn't someone where you go, well, I'm not having him because he's not perfect. There's issues with his game. I think he overly relies on physicality at the minute. But he can because he's rapid and he has got that Kante style engine of just being able to go for days.
Yeah.
But I do think there's bits he can add to his game to improve on. And to be honest, if you bring him in and you don't expect him to play week in, week out, because he is still going to play McFred. Mm-hmm. And he might still even keep hold of Matic, although I think that's unlikely. There's some good people for him to learn off there. A great one for him to learn off is Michael Carrick.
Yeah.
And if Michael Carrick can get into someone that young, you've still also potentially got Jimmy Garner and Dylan Levitt, so you could throw him into a mixer with those guys and just see which one rises to the top.
Yeah.
I rate him highly. And I did a transfer video yesterday when I was looking at... I think there's something in the Varane rumour. I'm almost certain he stays at Madrid. And I think they'll throw whatever at him to keep him. But if he doesn't, and you manage to have a window where you sign Camavinga, Varane, and Sancho, holy shit, we've addressed three problems.
Well, let's have a look a bit more at Camavinga then, because I've got some stats on him here in comparison to players who we have.
Realistically, are we looking at?
Like 40 million.
40, 50 million is what's been touted.
Make it happen.
So let's compare him to Fred then.
If he doesn't work out, you can sell him for that.
Yeah. Let's compare him to Fred.
Well, he's 21.
His pass completion similar, but Fred's pass completion's higher than you think because mostly he's not making forward passes. Shot creating actions actually higher for Fred, 67 compared to 44.
Yeah, it's deeper than people think.
Camavinga's tackles 111 compared to 88 for Fred.
No one with more tackles.
No, they've both played very similar minutes, by the way, around 2,400 each last season. Here's the huge difference. Successful dribbles, Fred 24, Camavinga 49. Double the amount of, brings the ball forward, brings it out twice as well as Fred does.
So
twice
important
as often.
For beating that press
exactly.
as well.
Exactly. Right, and he likes to play on the right-hand side of the midfield as well, which is something that, at the moment, none of our big players do. Bruno likes to drift to the left. Pogba drifts to the left. Fred's left-footed. We don't have anyone that likes to play on that right-hand side. Compare him to McTominay, again, similar number of minutes. Shot-creating actions is high for Camavinga. Tackles more than double Scott McTominay's tackles, 111 to 48. Pressures, again, the way he presses the ball, 628 for Camavinga, 348 for McTominay. He's much more industrious and better on the ball than both Fred and
the problem is, though, it seems like United are third in the pecking order.
Yeah, PSG.
That's the Real Madrid. But are PSG looking elsewhere? Are they looking to get?
They could be doing a madness. They seem to be linked with everyone we're linked with. Varane, Ronaldo, Camavinga.
Ramos.
Well, yeah, so like, and I think there's a good chance they get Ramos, to be honest. So
he's
perfect
PSG.
But if they go for the Ramos and the Ronaldo signings with 300, 400, 500 grand a week, for as much money as they've got, Camavinga is going to be a more difficult signing to make. I remember with Donny van der Beek, he was set for Real Madrid, and then United snuck in at the end. It may be a little... We might be seeing that happen again with Camavinga.
I would not rule it out. I think he's more achievable than Varane, because as much as I am hearing that United's interest in Varane is real, like, quote me on that.
Yeah.
The problem is... Is Varane's interest in United real?
Mm.
Now that is a whole different
question, isn't it? Yeah, I reckon
Pogba stays. I think Varane would come.
If you can put it this way, if you get Pogba, that's essentially four signings, isn't it? So if you re-sign Pogba, you bring in Camavinga, you bring in Varane. Now for bringing in a young 18-year-old French lad, and he plays next to Paul Pogba and in front of Varane, watch this lad settle in.
Yeah.
And then he's going on international duty with them. And, for all of the issues that you have with Pogba, professionalism's not one of them.
Mm.
Like, what a great couple of role models for him to be learning off in the squad. You bring in Sancho for the right-hand side. And, the more I hear about Sancho, the more I think he's an absolute fucking widge, and I love it. Because I think he's got character. Like, Joe, that sort of widge. Not like he's shit. I mean, I think he's a fucking nightmare to coach.
I've been watching some of the behind-the-scenes videos with England and that. And like he seems quite assured in himself and still confident and that. And
that's why Southgate's
this move's happening. And that's the thing when you start hearing talk about Sancho's going to be done.
Yeah,
right. Varane, Camavinga, you start to think this is too good to be true. Like it's no way this possibly happens. But could it be? We're actually fucking starting to sort our lives out.
When you actually think though, yes, I know that's three players. Camavinga presumably is coming in as a first-team player, but he's 18, so you're never 100% certain. That's still only two first-team players, which should be the minimum benchmark for a transfer summer. Like, especially if you're as far off as... You know, I know we're not a million miles off, but we're a good, a noticeable chunk away from City and even, you know, an informed Liverpool. We can't go and get 99 points like they've done before.
I wouldn't have thought so.
No.
I don't think they can do that.
No, I'm not sure they can either, but you know what I mean? That's the... That's,
Kane that, and Grealish.
That's the standard. That's the standard.
He's on about Liverpool.
Yeah. But getting two first-team players shouldn't be that miraculous. Like, oh my God, what a stunning transfer window. But for
but
us...
But if you go back in time and see how many times we did it, the last time we could have had a window... 16. Zlatan, Pogba, Mkhitaryan, they were all and even Bayer, they were all sensational off the bat.
Weren't 08 though, was it?
That's good. What was 08?
Nani Tevez. Anderson, Hargreaves.
Done by like May as well.
Yeah, brilliant.
It was done by the season finished and it was like, all right, this is done.
But in terms of world stars, Sancho is the best young, I think the best young creator in the world. I mean, statistically, it's inarguable. Varane is one of the best defenders in the world, and Camavinga is again the best young midfielder in the world.
What Sancho brings to the team is more than just him being a good player on the right. You then start to see our forward, whether that's Cavani, Marshall, Greenwood, whoever's in that position, they've now got someone to play off. Rashford doesn't have to play every game.
That's the big one for me.
We can, like, if Sancho wants
take
Sancho's
one out of
done,
four games off,
go Marcus,
one out of five
as soon
games
as this
off.
Tournament's finished, go get your operation, son. Because I'm sick of all this. We've got Amad Diallo, we've got Jadon Sancho, Daniel James, all the,
Mason, like, Greenwood, Martial.
Let Rashford miss the first couple of weeks. Do you know what I mean? Let him miss the first couple of weeks, because bringing in Sancho would enable us to do that. You can play him on the left, play Amad on the right, you can play Daniel James on the left, play. And then you've got Greenwood then gets more opportunities through the middle as well, which I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, I think it's. I think for his progression at this stage now, Mason's got a lot of minutes on the pitch for Man United. He's not short of minutes. I think him playing 30 minutes most weeks as a backup striker now develops him more than 60 minutes most weeks as a right winger, because he gets subbed off pretty much every time he plays anyway. I think less minutes, but in his position going forward, especially if he's going to take the mantle off Cavani at the end of next season, that's what he needs, and now he won't have to play out on the right-hand side.
I think that it's hard. We're going to go... If we have as good a summer as we hope, I think he goes all in the Haaland basket next season.
Do you?
I think it would be like, we'll make two signings this summer.
By the way, that's going to be a hell of a scrap. Right,
but if City get Kane, because I don't think...
If City get Kane and PSG get Ronaldo, who's fighting us for Haaland? Chelsea? They'll be back down to six by then.
Unless Mbappe went to Real the following.
Who was that? The chair.
And Haaland replaced him.
Sorry, the chair.
But I don't think City are going to get Kane and Grealish. They're going to get one, and it's going to be Kane.
I think it'll be both.
Because it's not going to be both, because if you think... look wrong, but if you think about it, at the moment...
Minutes happened.
It's both, because Grealish is 100 mil and Kane's 100 mil.
Yeah.
You're having a laugh. Spurs ain't
got that kind of money.
Spurs ain't taking 100 mil for Harry Kane.
No, that's true.
And Nora Villa taking 100 mil for Grealish.
They're going to Tottenham saying, here's 100 million. Like, pure Chris Tarrant.
And take anything you want from the bottom shelf.
Yeah, exactly. Chris Tarrant, here's 100 million. But we're not going to give you that. We're going to give you that and Gabriel Jesus and Bernardo Silva and whoever else.
You've got to hope those players want to go to Spurs, bro.
No, you don't.
No, you don't.
Yeah,
not
you
the,
do.
Not
nah,
these days.
Don't.
Yeah, you do.
Nah,
you Gabriel don't. Jesus would have... He'd probably be the one most likely to go to Spurs.
Yeah.
Raheem Sterling, he's been talking about wanting to be David Beckham and that. You think he goes Spurs?
Yeah,
how badly...
Laporte don't go Spurs either. And if they want to get rid...
When City are getting rid of
we
players,
should be getting in
they
there.
Get rid of players, right? I don't know whether they're sending someone around to have a conversation, but they go.
Aren't going to want to go Spurs. With no European football.
They will.
With fuck all money.
Those players
with no manager.
Yeah. Those players that City are willing to give away, by the way, would all get in our first 11.
More or less.
Sterling wouldn't.
He would.
No.
He would play on the right-hand side for this United.
Well, yeah.
Without Sancho.
United with Sancho.
Yeah. Right, we've got a couple of super chats. Sucross says, love the channel, guys.
Jesus doesn't. What are you on about?
I mean, if, you know, over the last couple of seasons...
Even a shit Martial is not better.
He's got less goals than Jesus.
this season, but not overall.
Okay.
City make that many chances.
I'm not saying I would love Jesus.
I actually think Cavani scored 5 goals a season for City.
Yeah.
Greenwood is already
just
better than
the ball
Jesus.
Just hitting you.
Yeah.
You're just standing on the 6-yard, like just hits you in the knee and goes in. Sue Cross with the super chat says, "Love the channel, guys."
He's always offside, that fat lad, isn't he?
Sorry for the OCD.
She's not fucking running.
Just want to let you know that Sal Niguez is pronounced Saul Niguez.
Okay.
Not Sal Niguez.
I'm from Manchester, and when he moves to Manchester, he will also be from Manchester.
We'll change the name to Paul,
and that's what it's going to be. Yeah.
Fair enough.
I like the name Saul. You know when Michael Buffer does, Saul. Canelo, that's the best.
That's the best.
That's woo.
Matt G with the super chat. If Camavinga signed, can you envisage a Pogba scenario where after 2 good seasons, his agent is looking to move him to Real?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Barca, what Camavinga's
leaving
straight away.
That's life, bro. You know what you got to do to stop that happening? Win some fucking trophies.
Yeah.
And players don't want to leave.
I know.
We never had those problems when we were winning trophies. No. You think if we weren't winning trophies, Tevez would have wanted to fuck off straight. I know he did in the end, but Ronaldo would have fucked, like all these players would have fucked off.
That's because we didn't extend his loan in the right way, isn't it? Or make it a
Yeah, he scored 5 goals in his last season.
He did.
5 league goals.
But yeah, you never ever forget that. When's the last time, when was the last big rumour of one of their top players being like, I need to get out of here? You don't hear it. Or if you do, it's
there's
slim.
A few murmurs because now, though.
There is a few, but you know what I mean? Generally speaking, Aguero's been on the bench for 2 years. And yeah, he's going to go, but that's because Pep wants him to go. Like, when you're winning stuff, people want to stick around, even if they're only playing 25 games a season.
Shit, man. Phil Jones been hanging around like a bad smell for 10 years and we ain't won fuck all.
Yeah. But that's, you know, Phil Jones is made
I
more.
Swear to God, if he turns up at this fucking squad photo this year, I'm going to fucking
imagine
break.
Imagine you're Donny van der Beek.
He's on the squad.
And you have one bad season for United. And like, people are like, yeah, he's got to fuck off.
He's got to go.
And then you
and he sat next to Phil Jones in training. Like,
what is this? How is he getting away with this? And we're not. Like, what?
And then Donny van der Beek's coming in going, what is
but have you
a Phil Jones?
I think Phil Jones.
What is a Phil Jones?
Phil Jones is like.
What is a Phil Jones?
Have you seen that documentary
fucking Premier League. Show them some respect.
Kaiser.
No, not yet.
No.
The Brazilian greatest footballer that was never a footballer.
No.
So he basically used to sign for clubs, the biggest and best clubs in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Like Vasco, Da Gama, Botafogo, all these teams in Rio. He signed for them all, even signed for a few abroad and that. And he never, ever played football. So how he started was he said to, I think it was like Vasco or whoever, played for a French team in thingy like Ajaccio or something like that. And they were like, oh, yeah, Sam, come and sign up and that. And then he'd sign up, do the physical training. He was fit and that. Whenever he'd have to play football, he'd fake an injury or he'd punch a fan, or he'd do something crazy. So then he'd get paid for about 3, 4, 5 months, not play football, move to another club.
So how's he keep getting moves, though?
Did that.
Who's his PR team?
Have you heard of Graham Souness?
It was like the 50s, 60s. Like
in the Premier League era, though. The Premier League era, when video was a thing. And here's the thing about Ali Dia and Graham Souness, for those who aren't aware. A guy phoned up Southampton and was like, hiya, I'm George Weah. Can I recommend my cousin to come and play for you? And they were like, why not?
Two things just to clarify. Graham Souness was the manager of Southampton at the
Correct.
Time. And George Weah was
World
Ballon d'Or winner.
Year.
Yeah, World Player of the Year.
So that's not a weird conversation for anyone. So just take that phone call and be like, yeah, we'll take him. Now, I would understand you taking a look at someone and bring him into training.
Give him a trial, perhaps.
We'll do a little bit of a rondo. Yes. Maybe we'll play 5-a-side. And at no point has someone gone, well, he's fucking pony, isn't he?
Yeah.
No, Graham Souness didn't do that. He went, let's put him on the bench for, who are they playing? Was it Forrest or someone like that?
Right.
Let's put him on the bench and then I'll bring him on. Mm. Like,
just. And was he just an amateur, non-existent, just terrible footballer?
It wasn't even that good.
Just me.
It was me. It was so bad. It was literally like a guy, like, had heard of the idea of football and just ran on the pitch and tried to play it like someone described
so then,
it to
yeah, so then you go back 30 years where the internet doesn't exist, CCTV.
Yeah,
and Kays,
look, he played for Puebla, Botafogo, Flamengo, Gazalec, Bangui.
He signed for
Fluminense, Vasco da Gama.
He had 12
America
years.
America RJ. So look, what he used to do as well, there's a bit in the documentary.
And I guess it's true.
Because they react
been,
a lot of the
I've
stuff.
I've just been at Vasco da Gama.
He reenacts a lot of stuff and he'd like be in the dressing room and he'd have a phone call ring and he'd go,
Oh, Real Madrid.
Just not even a person's name, just the club. Oh, Man United, how you doing, mate? You all right? Like, what? Did he just, is he, in the photo, just saved as Man United?
Sort out the parties for all his teammates, the girls, everything. So they always wants to keep him.
He was the banter. He was the king. I love that.
Watch the, when you get
it was
old,
Lee Grant, it. Wasn't
quite it? Emotional it, at the end.
Phil Jones, who's got the bag?
For anyone who hasn't seen
Amazon
it.
Prime.
Amazon Prime, what's it called?
Kaiser. K-A-I-S-E-R. Well, and if you've got Amazon weekend. Prime, subscribe to our Twitch, you get a free one.
Yes, exactly. Right, let's have a little talk about, speaking of, you know, football, great segue. Luke Shaw has been running his chops, hasn't he? Talking about Jose Mourinho, I need to get your opinions on this, but let me just read some of the quotes first. Luke Shaw basically responding to the fact that every time Jose Mourinho gets asked about Luke Shaw, he slags him off, and he has done for about 3 years. Including whilst he was still the manager of Manchester United.
Including press conferences at Old Trafford.
Yeah, saying he doesn't have a brain. If he had my brain, he'd be half a good player. So Luke Shaw said...
After one of his best performances of that season.
Yep, he said, I don't really
my
understand...
My brain and his body.
I don't really understand it, to be honest. I don't know why he's still going on and wanting to point at me. I don't feel like the set pieces were as bad as he was saying. I might have done one in the second half, a corner that didn't get over the first man, but that was one out of three. The other two or three, I don't think, were as dramatically bad as he says. Look, he's got to do his job. He's got his opinion. And I'm reading this bit out on purpose because a lot of the more inflammatory quotes are the only things people are seeing. And he does sort of put it in a package of, I get that he's a pundit. He's got his opinion. I'm used to him saying negative stuff about me now. So I just pass it by. I leave it. I ignore it. I focus on what the coaching staff say here, what Gareth says, and that's it really. And then he says, his voice is obviously very big. He likes to talk a lot about me, as everyone has seen recently, but he's got his own voice. He can say what he wants. The big thing was where he said, he continuously talks about me. I find it quite strange. Even some of the lads have said, what's his problem? Why does he keep talking?
Nah, the best bit
he just needs to move on. Hopefully he can find his peace and finally move on and stop worrying about me. Clearly, I'm in his head a lot and clearly he thinks about me a lot.
You missed out the best bit where he goes.
I think
he's a great manager, but the past is the past.
I think he was a brilliant manager, but you know, the past is the past. It's time to move on. I'm trying to move on, but obviously he can't. So that is an unusually...
If I was Luke Shaw as well, I would have said, and he was a shit footballer.
Yeah, and he was a shit footballer. But that's an unusually robust response to that kind of thing, isn't it? But
about time.
What do you reckon to that?
I'd have loved it if it had just come out and gone rent free, Jose, rent free, or just something along, something as
I mean, on the nose. Did.
I know he did, but yeah, like yeah, really yeah. More on the nose, yeah. And because something a bit more succinct than the paragraph that he gave him.
Yeah,
but he's not wrong.
No,
Jose is so bitter these last couple of years. He didn't take the United sacking. He didn't take the United job well, but he not took the United sacking well. His entire time at Spurs, he just seemed to be sniping at United all the time. Now he's on TalkSport, which is a genius move from TalkSport. And I'm sure his press conferences at Roma, he's going to be talking about Luke Shaw and United, and you know, and even like he has digs at Lukaku and that all the time as well. So. I don't think Luke Shaw's on his own in this. He very clearly had his favourites. But I think Jose's trying to put it all on Luke Shaw. And I think Jose probably takes some responsibility because Ollie's shown that actually a different management style is getting a hell of a lot more out of Luke Shaw than he was. So I think he has to take that on the chin. I think Luke Shaw needs to take a bit of responsibility for his own performances at the time as well. Because they weren't without criticism justified. I think they were some performances that warranted it. The his brain, my brain and his body one was one of the most bizarre fucking comments I'd ever seen.
And proper like schoolboy mean as well, that in it. That's like, he's a thick fucker, but without
that's
me,
interesting
like,
as well.
That's mean that.
They commented about...
Public as well.
About, I think he said something along the lines of... I knew I'd outlast him. And if you remember at the time when I think it was Tony Marshall signed his contract, there was a report at that time saying Anthony Marshall is confident that he'll outlast Jose Mourinho.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like everybody seemed to be thinking that in the dressing room at the time. And it can't be the only club where that happens, where people start thinking, well, I'm going to be here longer than you.
In football, that must happen all the time now. I don't think that's the case at City. I don't think any player signing for them thinks... I'm going to outlast Pep because if he wants to,
you don't
he's there
sign
for
life. People thinking that. No, because but, when no, people sign for a manager, the manager's all nice and that.
Yeah, but I mean, if you sign for Watford in the last 5 years, you're thinking, who the fuck is the next manager that I'm going to manage under?
Who's going to be manager next month?
Yeah, there's more stability.
People
now
will like
United.
That though because they'll think, I can get out of this club easy.
Yeah.
The Luke Shaw's been here 7 years, isn't that mad?
Yeah, it is mad.
Is it yesterday, 7 years.
And he's the best he's ever been now, comfortably, I think. People talk about this sort of mythical.
He wasn't better than now. Watch
no
some
chance.
Videos of him before that leg break, bro. He was so fucking fast.
He was, but he wasn't as effective as he is now. I never think his final product was as good as it was now.
Shut up. Usain Bolt was fast. He's fucking shit.
That's true. What do you make of these comments then, from Shaw?
I love it. He's my left back for the foreseeable future.
I knew you'd love it because you don't like Jose and you like animosity. And so this is perfect for you.
One of my things with Shaw is I've always felt he's a bit of a pussy. He doesn't want it enough. But when I hear things like that, makes me respect him.
Yeah. You get in front of him at a buffet and watch how much he wants it.
And like, do you like, I like the little knock.
What would he say to him?
Someone said that in the comments.
Rent free, Steve!
Someone said that in the comments. What would Shaw say about Steve's comments over the last 18 months?
My comments are perfectly justified. But also, I slagged him off 6 months ago. Yeah. Since then, I've been supportive of him because his performances have improved. And that's how it works. I'm not Jose Mourinho him. I'm not sitting here going, he's shit. The last 6 months of his United performances were fucking very, very good.
Yeah. And also, to be fair to Luke Shaw, he hasn't come out and said, I was great under Jose, I don't know what he's on about. He said, I don't know why he's still talking about me, which is a different thing, isn't it? He's not said he was wrong in what he used to say. He's saying,
no, he has, you though. Can shut up. He now. Has, because he says, like, it was a hard time working under him. Like,
yeah, but that's...
He talks about it.
Yeah, but I mean, I think he's saying, like, I don't think he means... Mourinho's head. I don't know what he's on about, because surely Luke Shaw knew he wasn't brilliant for quite a while.
Mourinho's head went the summer we got DeLow and Lee Grant. And
that was game over, wasn't it?
Game over.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's almost understandable. He's like, listen, I've just come second. We're going to push on now. And they're like, well, kind of. Yeah. Did you want a third choice goalkeeper? No. Well, that's what you're fucking getting. How about a backup left back? He's Portuguese. I guess, but no.
He's young.
And Fred, fuck who you him. Don't really like.
Yeah, and Fred, who you don't know.
Yeah.
You've never heard of him.
All right, they're good. Where's the fucking players
Harry Maguire? Oh, we'll get him next year when Ollie's the manager.
You're fucking gone.
Also, just as a quick extra point, how much do you think it stings Jose that when you look at like the sort of pros and cons, ticks and crosses, Ollie is getting more out of more players than Jose was out of those same players?
He
like,
would say.
There's less, like, Marshall's gone
no
down.
No trophies.
And yeah, he would.
That's fair.
But there's a... Not what he would say, but what do you think he thinks? Because there must be part of him that thinks Pogba's better.
He
than
thinks
was.
That.
Sure,
I would think that if
think.
I was him. I'd think, where's your trophies?
A fuck. Yeah.
Obviously, as a professional and as someone that would be arrogant, like, you'd think, where's your fucking trophies to show for it? But then, if you were being realistic about yourself, this club, this team now is set up for longer term success, whether that's with or without Ollie. Yeah.
And they sacked you. They haven't sacked Ollie.
Yeah, that's true. He's still got a chance to prove it. Whereas Jose's trophies at United are set and they're done and they can't be changed. Ole could win who knows what.
No,
in the
and
next
he's been
three
very
years.
Close to picking up other trophies, and he does have to get over that line. That's no excuse. He should have won the Europa League this year. That was a failure. No, that doesn't mean. Like, I don't know where this thing's become now. If you fail, that's you. You're done. Like, Jesus Christ. Like,
I think people look at like the likes of Pep, who. Yes, he's only won Champions Leagues with Lionel Messi in his team, but generally speaking, wins year in, year out, no matter what. I think people look at managers like that and think, why don't United have that?
Well,
why don't United
matter.
Have that
we
success?
We don't have the resources.
Listen,
well, yeah,
you give them to Bournemouth, do you think he keeps them up?
No, I agree. No, he doesn't. But what, you know what I mean? That's benchmark, that's the comparison, isn't it?
Because people are fucking idiots. Yeah. At the end of the day, if we'd have been allowed to spend $830 million on 25 first-team players that had have already just won the league... I would have expected us to have something to show for that.
We should especially have had a trophy had a, by now.
Especially if they'd have had a consistent sporting director in place that was sort of strategically planning where the club was going to go for 2 years prior to the arrival of a certain manager. We've not had that. We've lurched from David Moyes with no plan to Louis van Gaal, who seemingly had some sort of a plan, but then you go to Jose Mourinho. The problem with getting Jose after Louis is they've got a personal relationship and they don't fucking like each other. So when you have players like Memphis Depay, who's since gone on, improved his career and looked good, he got 4 minutes under Jose because he's close to Louis. And he was like, anyway, you like Louis van Gaal, don't you? Get the fuck out of my dressing
room.
Daley Blind, yeah, you're really good. Get the fuck out of my dressing room.
And these rumours as well that Jose comes in and goes, who's the one? Him. I hate him. And I'm going to show you what it's like when I hate someone and they're gone no matter what.
Yeah, so don't be like him.
Don't be like him.
And then he'll
and Memphis
bring in,
was that guy.
He'll
he?
Bring in or he'll find... A number of people that can do no wrong.
Yeah, like Højbjerg at Spurs, Matic at United. Yeah, he likes that. Miles Van Aten with a super chat. He says, pre and post Madrid Jose seem to be the argument, but honestly, it's pre and post medical team bust up. That's the big change for him in his career. What do you think of that? Eva Carneiro? That sort
I think it's like pre-post when we talk about England and why I don't love England as much as I once did. It's a gradual thing where so many different events have happened that have made me think, oh, fuck this shit. Yeah. Same with Mourinho, I think. It's gradual. Like, you don't just end up there because Eva Carneiro and you had an argument.
And Rui Faria leaving being the sort of final straw?
Big help. Big, massive, I think, massive. Like, losing people, like, he doesn't have those Zlatans and that anymore either. Mm. Have you seen the Zlatan trailer, by the way?
Yeah,
for his movie?
But anyway, back on that, I think it's pre and post Inter. Because I think...
Yeah.
Yeah, because... what he achieved at Porto was sensational. Gone. What he achieved at Chelsea was sensational. And it was a throwaway comment on getting sacked at Chelsea. He's like, if you don't like it, you could sack me. And he was like, hey, you're right, I can't go sit in my office. And then he sacked him. He wasn't actually going right for him perfectly at the time at Chelsea. But then when he went to Inter, he'd already been damaged. Now, he was damaged, but still extremely successful.
Yeah.
But he changed. That was when he became the park the bus winner all costs, no matter what. And that was different to what he had at Porto. At Porto, they were very front foot. They were very free-flowing. They were a fucking absolute machine of a team.
Yeah.
And that was exactly what he had at
but
Chelsea.
But that Inter Milan team, I know that, you know, you can say, oh, sit back, win at all costs. That's one of the greatest teams of all time.
It is.
But to stop Barca winning three in a row as well and dominating them.
That's where that marker is, though.
Yeah.
It's pre and post Inter. So whatever happened between losing that Chelsea job, maybe he thought he could never get sacked. And that was what hurt him from the Chelsea job. Because obviously he never got sacked at Porto. It was sensational at Chelsea until he got sacked. So maybe, and I don't know the answer to this, I'm theorising. Maybe it was his confidence took a knock when he first got sacked. Then obviously he was extremely successful. Won a treble, won a title. Hyper successful with that Inter team. They've never come close to replicating that again since.
No.
Then he takes the Real Madrid job where he's up against Guardiola and possibly one of the greatest teams ever. He was already damaged by the time he got to Madrid. He'd already been the... Oh, what did they call the...
Inter's the only club where he would have got the time to refresh what he'd done.
Basically, he played a I can't remember the name of it. There was a name for three defensive midfielders, which is something that he started at Inter and continued at Real Madrid when coming up against Guardiola teams. Three defensive anchormen.
Yeah.
And he never would have done that at Chelsea.
Well, he won one league title in his 3 years at Real Madrid, didn't he? Didn't win the Champions League.
Broke a lot of records.
Broke
a lot of
top scoring team of all time up until this. And maybe that was broken a couple of seasons ago, but certainly for a long period, over 100 goals, 109 goals or something ridiculous
but
in
the
league.
But I think if you was trying to analyse where he was broken, I think pre and post Inter is the time to look at that. I think he probably saw he could become successful being the counter-attacking guy. Real Madrid did very well doing that and played some brilliant football as well. Like they weren't a shit counter-attacking side. They were just an effective counter-attacking side that happened to have, you know, Ronaldo and I think it was pre-Bale, wasn't it? But like they had some Kaká and
Ozil was incredible.
Yeah, they had some sensational players. Yeah. And then he comes back to Chelsea briefly. Eva Carneiro
won a league. Let's not forget
he did. Yeah, which they were doing every 18 months or so. They'd get a new manager and then he'd win the league. And then it obviously went tits up there. He comes to United. He wins a couple of pots. And then he goes, you know, you'd never seen Jose at Spurs.
And then at Roma.
And now at Roma, who are definitely a second tier European.
I wouldn't be surprised if he won the league or something with Roma.
The league.
But now look at Inter, like
Juve.
Juve
are going to dip off. Aren't they?
Yeah. They could have a chance.
You mentioned Ronaldo before there, Steve. Let's just briefly talk about the game yesterday. I know you sort of said that you enjoyed it. That Belgium-Portugal match, the first 60 minutes was boring as fuck, though, if we're honest.
I enjoyed the whole game.
Yeah, I'm not... It's not necessarily... It's not about goals. There was a battle.
I agree that it's not all... You know, not every game is about goals. I thought Belgium wanted to hold the ball but couldn't somehow, and Portugal's build-up play was so slow that it was boring. I thought the Italy game...
They should have gone for it earlier, 10 minutes earlier.
Yeah, the Italy game, that was 0-0. That was much more exciting to me than the Portugal game.
The problem with the Italy game...
It's not just about goals.
Italy was only attacking with 3 and 4 men at a time.
Yeah.
They're like the midfield and the rest of the team never really... Like, they kept... That, is that because of the age of the defence? They just kept the defence back, and they just attacked almost with whoever was like near it. Mm. Like they never attacked as a team. And I thought that was why they weren't scoring.
Yeah.
But maybe that's why they don't concede.
Yeah.
Because they're not doing that. I still think It wouldn't shock me to see them in the final, to be honest.
Mm. Well, it's Croatia versus Spain starting in, I believe, 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And then later on tonight.
I'd be very shocked if there's an upset in that.
What with Spain being the favourites?
Yeah, hence it being upset. I think Spain go through on that. The thing is, they're fucking boring. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jordi Alba touches the ball about 2,000 fucking times a game. It's fucking boring. Mm. And obviously, they don't have any sort of focal point for their attack, so it's just fucking 8 idiots passing away and other 8 idiots.
I think that's that side of the draw is opening up for France, though, man. I don't think Belgium were very...
They've got a tap in against
Belgium. Them. Weren't... They were better, but they weren't great.
No.
I'm not convinced by Martinez. I'm glad Portugal are out because it means Bruno gets a rest.
Yeah.
I thought when he came on yesterday, he did some very good things, but he also did those things where it's like... You know what he does a lot? He just fucking shoots for no reason, brother. And you're thinking, what are you...
He looks to me like
you've
he's
wasted
got that
possession
like,
there. It's just a turnover and it's like...
He's got where's that your like brain mental going? Fatigue. He's not that just like his legs are tired. Like his head is tired.
He works like at 100... Like sometimes he won't just put his foot on the ball and calm shit down. But then he was picking some passes that were immaculate.
Yeah.
Like he's some really crosses as well that no one managed to get properly on the end.
Had a stinker of a tournament though, to be fair to.
Right, before we go, Wally of the Week. I know it's not football, but can we say Matt Hancock for just
Matt
looking around the corner and going, come on, he gives a big snog. Although he's the part of you that thinks this is the sexiest he's ever been because he's the biggest dork, loser-looking bloke ever.
Isn't
shit
he,
boy, stares
that,
at the camera too much and yet somehow there's still hope. All you have to do is be the fifth most powerful person in Parliament.
It's a shame
that he's sexy.
It's a shame that he's not.
Clearly.
In government no more, though, because he's an absolute meme,
isn't he? Still in government, isn't he?
Like,
still
do you see
MP?
The way, like... Do you like when he used to sit down on the bench? Like a fucking Toy Story toy?
That? Yeah.
Have you seen that video of him with the lady where she's interviewing him?
Yeah, he's a weirdo.
He's just staring at her.
Right up close to her. He's a wrong'un. Them man are all wrong'uns. They all fuck pigs and things like
okay.
that.
Okay, that is libelous and not true. That isn't allegedly
no,
on that
you
one.
You have to say some of them have fucked pigs.
Some of them
allegedly.
Have eaten no, these eaten it's types. There, yeah. Fuck them, man.
Some of who
them
was
have,
it?
Cameron.
Right. Wait, fuck them all.
I
take
agree.
Me to court.
All right.
I think they will.
Good. Matt Hancock. Do it. I'll be there with your wife.
You'll be there with a pig mask on trying to
looking to take half.
Any other Wallies of the Week?
Matt Hancock.
The fucking FA. In the middle of all this lot are like, we're going to give Gareth a 4-year extension.
Oh yeah, that. Fuck
why?
That.
Wait, what?
Yeah, they like, no matter what happens, he can stay.
It's not happened yet though, has it?
Yeah, it's on the table, I
there's
think.
Still time.
It's a disgrace.
Why though?
It's a disgrace.
What benefit is there to do? Like, are you going to ward off the tens of clubs trying to get him? Like,
I haven't even seen that.
Who's going to try and get him? MK Dons? Mm. Like, you're not going to stop any top clubs great. Fucking getting
Spurs
him.
Will go for him. Oh, well, you could see Spurs going for him.
Do us a favour and take him.
So, who are you trying... What is the benefit of offering him a contract now? Maybe some players on the fence go, fuck it, I am going to go play for Jamaica. Fuck this shit. Like, what benefit is it to give him fucking Southgate an extension? That means shit.
Yeah, especially like right. when the decision's made. Like, what? Is that, and you know what's funny? Like, I've already seen a few comments. People go, you get on Southgate's back, but not on Ollie's back. We know if Ollie was to fail as much as this guy, he would be sacked.
I've got a question for you.
Like, he would be sacked.
Ollie gets a lot of criticism.
Ollie would win the Euros
subs.
With that team.
Right, he gets a lot of criticism for not making subs, right? Mm. You tell me when we were ever 0-0 in a game and he had Grealish, Sancho, Rashford and Calvert-Lewin sat there playing fucking ping pong, right?
And not bringing him on.
And not bringing him on. It's not like having fucking Dan James
no.
And an old Mata and going,
Igalo.
Yeah.
What am I going to do here?
My front three with Kane was Grealish, Sancho, Rashford.
Was it?
I like we're that. All sat on the bench.
A final Wally of the Week. I'm going to put UEFA in there as well for not allowing the Allianz Arena to put the pride colours on the
Why?
Stadium because they were playing Hungary and Hungary have recently passed some anti-gay laws and they were like...
They said it's political
we don't want
because
the political
of that.
Side of it. So
well, what I did rate was...
So loads of German stadiums and places...
Why are they allowing fucking...
Yeah, exactly. So loads of German stadiums and places put up pride flag lights... Look. On their stadiums.
Like I mean, Volkswagen changed
yeah,
their advertising, Just Eat,
everyone. A load of them did it. And I mean, it's one of those things, it's a bit of a sort of token gesture anyway. like, you know, do something more than just putting lights up. But don't stop them doing that.
Hungarian fans was like fucking had a march against it.
Yeah, exactly. So they basically folded on
that.
How
can you have a march against people being gay, bro? Yeah. It don't make sense.
No. Exactly.
Imagine more women so for you, bro. Why are you stressed?
Yeah, imagine exactly. Being so arsed about what other people do. Yeah. It's like when Pieface was like, why don't you like England as
Steve,
much as
stop
me?
Putting cock in your mouth.
Like, we imagine being like, why don't you like... Does it matter what
I
like?
I love the face when I celebrate him.
Right.
And I literally said, that's like cheering a Liverpool goal. No, house way.
No, it's not. That's going to be all from us. Let us know if you have a Wally of the Week in the comments as well. This podcast is available, if you don't know, on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcast from. Just search Stretford Paddock Podcast. You'll find it and make sure you check it out on there. Thank you very much again. Adam, thank you for coming on. Steve as well. Thank you again for watching us at home. We'll see you in a bit. Sports Social Podcast Network.